Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Burgess Hill.
So I want to go to the Word of God. We've been going through a series entitled The Holy Spirit, and the forerunners have been before me. Pastor Clive came and introduced the person of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we had Pastor Jonathan Dyke dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there will be others who will come after me to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learning to discern or hear and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life might be the most important thing that we can ever do as believers. There are many voices speaking. I remember a few years ago, in the year 2019, I was invited to speak at a place in London. And as I was preparing, God put a message in my heart about discerning the voice of God. And God put it so strongly in my spirit that people are battling with voices. Voices from different places. Voices from people. And I remember that particular meeting, God even gave me a word for somebody who had been battling with voices from people who died many years ago. They said something and they received that word and it had messed up their lives. And today I want us to accentuate the voice of the Holy Spirit above any other voice that we might hear. And I'm going to read a number of scriptures here. If you have your Bible, please turn with me. I'm going to read them in succession, and then I will try and do an exposition. John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. And I'm coming from the background that by now, I believe you've listened to Pastor Clive's message and Pastor Jonathan's message, so you are at a good place to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Of course, we cannot exhaust the Holy Spirit. He is eternal. He's from the beginning and he will forever be. So in the short span of time that God has given us on this planet, we try to understand who he is. But I know that we shall know him as he is when we meet him in glory. So John 10, verse 27, the Bible says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Please mark those words. They listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 16, verse 12 to verse 15. John 16, 12 to verse 15. The Bible says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Father God, I thank you for your word. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding. I pray that, Lord, as your word comes forth, the Holy Spirit will speak and articulate this in the hearts of men and women, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, like I said, we are living in a world, or we live in a world that is filled with very many voices. If you are like me, I like listening to the radio, and right now I am spoiled for choice which channel to tune into. I like doing UCB one, sometimes I do UCB two, then we've got Premier Christian, Premier Gospel, Premier all these, and once in a good, you know, sometimes I like listening to LBC, you know what I'm talking about, when I need a good dose of some politics and what's going on in the world. I listen to Nick Ferrari and O'Brien and all these other guys. And the point here is, at any given time, if you are to tune into your radio, there are hundreds and hundreds of radio stations. But you've got to decide which one to tune into and listen at any given time. Now, I grew up in Kenya, I know, but now you have known that. And I remember growing up in the 1980s, there was only one TV station in Kenya. It used to be known as VOK, the Voice of Kenya. And it was said that we were a one-party state, and any propaganda the government wanted to release or anything the government wanted to say, that was like the state television channel, the radio, the broadcaster. And for a long time before the airwaves were liberalized, we only listened to one voice, the voice of the government, the voice of Kenya. And sometimes it is so in our Christian lives, that there are so many voices that are speaking, but if we tune in to the wrong channel, if we engage the wrong frequency, then we will end up having voices that are not in line with what God is saying. I'll give you an example. We have the voice of the flesh. And the voice of the flesh, if you read in the book of Galatians, it is driven by selfish desires. And you can read Galatians 5, 16 to 17. You will see what it's all about. It's about envy. It's about strife. It's about jealousy. It's about competition. When you see somebody being blessed, then a voice speaks to you and says, that could have been you. Why don't you undercut them? And you begin to engage into some fleshly desires because there is a voice that is speaking in the inside of you. I will revenge. I will even the scores. I will find a way of dealing with this person because of what they've done to me. The flesh begins to speak to you, and that is the voice of the flesh. And the Bible says, if we do not walk in the Spirit, the voice of the flesh will be very, very, very pronounced. You find yourself struggling with things like lust. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That is the voice of the flesh. Then we've got the voice of the world, which encourages compromise and conformity. Right now, the secular media is awash with everything that is happening in the world. You know, right now, I know since the 20th of January, America is on the spotlight with all that, you know, the president there is doing or not doing and whatever is happening. And one of the areas that these voices are being proliferated through is through social media. TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, the world is speaking. By the grace of God, my wife and I do take keen notice of what our children are watching. Right, granted, we cannot stop them from watching these things. I think I was speaking to someone in the course of the week. I can't remember who I was talking to. And I said, it is very important as a parent, you understand what limits you put to your children and what you do in terms of godly wisdom and guidance, because if you don't teach them, somebody else will. I can stop my child from watching TikTok. I can stop them from watching YouTube. But when they meet with his mate, or when he meets with his mates in the classroom or in the play areas, what do they talk about? So it is a matter of God giving us discernment and wisdom on how to parent and to raise the next generation. There is a celebrity culture, you know, reality television telling us about how to live and how not to live. You know, simple things like advertisements and commercials that run that give us ideas. They tell us what is an ideal body. You know, a six-pack. I thank God for my one-pack. A six-pack. Tall, dark, and handsome. A woman who is shaped like this. That if you're driving a car like this, if you're not holidaying in a place like this, you know, all those kind of voices that come and sink into your subconscious. Secular voices. We've got humanistic ideologies. Secular humanism is proliferating everywhere. That you don't have to have a God. You don't have to worship a deity. You can just be a good person and you can solve your own problems. Power of positive thinking. And by the way, these principles are in the Bible, but when we factor God out of the equation, then it becomes secular humanism. that you can become better in your workplace if you do this course, if you're a better person, and all this. It's like self-improvement projects that we do on ourselves. So there is a lot of voices speaking to us. And I want to maybe pause and ask you, what voices have you been listening to? This week, I was listening to LBC, and I heard something that almost created panic in my heart. And they said about landlords being told about, you know, the kind of energy or whatever ratings their houses need to be. You are in the property industry, you might have heard about this. And now they are saying that this cost or the impact to the landlords will be shifted to the tenants. So they are anticipating that maybe the rents might go up and so on and so forth. And then you hear another voice that the Bank of England has lowered the interest rates. Then you hear another voice about the economy. You hear another voice about the NHS. You hear another voice. I did a little bit of research paper with my students a while back, and the research paper predicted that by the year 2030, that was about 4 years ago, so the children born 4 years ago then, by the year 2030, there's going to be an epidemic of diabetes because of the kind of a lifestyle they're living, the kind of a drinks they're having, the kind of snacks they have, GMO kind of foods and all that kind of a thing. Then you hear those kind of words. You hear those kind of voices. Then you hear another voice telling you that in the next 10 years, there's going to be an antibiotic apocalypse, that the current antibiotics we have right now will not treat the infections then. And all these things have the potential to cause panic, fear, and anxiety in our lives. What voices have you been listening to? Political voices. Left, right, and center, everywhere. If it's not Labour, it's a Tory. If it's not Tory, it's whoever else. What voices are we listening to? Then we've got the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy is always deceptive. The voice of the enemy is always condemning. He is the master of deception and the father of all lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said that he is the father of lies. Don't worry about it. It's not in the list I gave you. He is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Anytime the devil opens his mouth, he speaks deception and he speaks lies. And many of us, unfortunately, are doing life governed by what the enemy says. The voice of the enemy. I want to remind you of Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve had everything perfect, a perfect lifestyle, perfect husband, perfect body, perfect everything. Then the enemy comes and deceives. And when the enemy came, what he did was to plant a seed of doubt through his voice. And he said to her, "Did God really say?" Now, I want you to understand, if you go back to the book of Genesis, that initially God spoke to Adam. And Adam must have spoken to Eve what God said. But when the enemy came, he planted doubt in Eve's mind so that she doubted the word of God. Did God really say? And you can go on and on in the Bible. Anytime the enemy comes, he just comes to deceive and to lie to people. But thank God for the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is the voice of truth and life. Every time the enemy speaks, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The voice of the enemy steals people's mind. It steals people's joy. It steals people's peace. It kills relationship. The voice of the enemy kills families. The voice of the enemy kills even nations. The voice of the enemy. Praise the name of Jesus. But we thank God for the voice of the Holy Spirit. It leads to truth and life. And all these voices, whether it's the voice of the enemy, the voice of the Holy Spirit, they have the potential to shape and influence who we are. I want to ask you another question. Have you ever done something in life based on what someone told you? Am I the only one? You know, I usually have a lot of trouble sometimes, especially when I'm dressing up to go somewhere, and I always ask my wife, what do you think of this? What do you think of this suit? What do you think of this tie? And I'm telling you, if she tells me that something is not good or it doesn't look good, and me being me sometimes, I insist on wearing it, I'll be hearing that voice. Even when I stand before people, I know that suit does not match that tie. And sometimes I'll even find myself apologizing for the way I'm dressed in front of you. I'm just giving an example. One time, I think I've given this example here. When my wife and I were dating, I went to visit where she used to live. And I said to them that I know how to bake a cake. And I started doing my things. And what came out just spells one word, disaster. And they said to me in no categorical terms, please stick to your day job. Don't try this again. And she's my witness. We've been married 14 years counting now. And I've never, ever gone near baking a cake again. Because that voice. And some of us have struggled with voices that are spoken to us. By people in our family. By people we were in relationships with. Some of us, it's our parents. Some of us, it's our teachers. You'll never amount to anything. I remember a story by the late Dr. Miles Monroe, and he said that one day he had this Scottish teacher who insulted him, and he told him that you will never amount to anything. And he says that when he wrote the first book, he went to Scotland to have that book signed, and he made sure that that teacher came and saw that God had actually made him into something. Because many of us, until and unless God intervenes and we refocus from the voices we've heard, we will never, ever be able to shake off those voices. They shape and influence who we are. But we thank God for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so today, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, my desire is that we may have the voice of the Holy Spirit as the most clear voice, I dare say as the only voice that rules and reigns in our lives. The voice of the Holy Spirit above what the news tell us. The voice of the Holy Spirit above what human people tell us. They can nullify us. They can cancel us out. They can invalidate who we are. But the Holy Spirit will always speak truth and life to us. The voice of the Holy Spirit. So the key to victorious Christian life is recognizing or discerning, and not just that, but following the voice of the Holy Spirit. And by this, I don't want you to get confused a little bit. I'm not talking about being like a mystic or a prophet or being a super theologian. I'm talking about you cultivating that ability to hear God on a day-to-day basis. I know, and I will come to that in a moment, God does use, you know, gifts of the Holy Spirit to speak, but we can cultivate hearing and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit every single day in our lives. And the key is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for last Sunday when we all got prayed to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Spirit's presence and His power, then we have very little room, if any, for any other voices. Hallelujah. The voice of the Holy Spirit, it brings calm to chaos. It brings comfort to sorrow. It brings peace to strife. It brings love where there is hatred. It brings clarity where there is confusion. And it brings power to the weakness. I think if there is anything that I would want in life, is just to have the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the year 2017, we had a house fire. And I remember that time as I was being taken to the hospital, and my son, Kirk, and Emma were also going to the hospital. Our daughter was not born yet. And I was, you know, when you're in an adrenaline rush, and then everything now calms down, and you just fall back to reality. And I will never forget hearing that voice of God. I was actually being taken to Queen Victoria for some reconstructive surgery. And, you know, you can't put a finger on it, but I just heard God say, trust me in this. Trust me in this. And how we sailed through that season, we can only attribute it to God. Not to any man, not to anything. How God gave us money to rebuild our lives, left, right, and center, There is so much that happened, but it is the voice of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the storm that said, trust me in this. I never panicked. I had to be strong for my family. We never panicked. And, you know, quite honestly speaking, the months after that were some of the best months that we've ever had. You know, when you don't have a lot to do, you've got people laughing on you and pampering you and all that kind of a thing. But God spoke and said, trust me through this. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go into another section and talk about discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the reason as to why I'm saying that, it's because not every voice we hear is from God. Even though we are spirit-filled brothers and sisters, sometimes the enemy will try to counterfeit the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we must walk in discernment. The Bible is not short of examples where people have come and declared a message as if from the Lord. And in some instances, the Bible says, but he was lying, or but a lying spirit was speaking through them. And these are the last days. The Bible warns us about the days we are living in today, that many people will come out. In fact, the Bible says that many prophets and many teachers will come out who are false, and they will deceive many, sometimes even, is it the elect? So therefore then, the Bible also says that let him who thinks he's strong or standing watch out lest he falls. We've got to be discerning, and we cannot be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy to counterfeit the voice of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit with a bid to deceive us and to make us miss out on our blessing. Now, the Bible gives an example. I'm not going to read. You can do that in your own study. 1 Kings chapter 13. The Bible gives of a story of the man of God and the lying prophet. I am very particular about instances where in the Bible no names are mentioned, because the Bible is very particular about names, names of people, names of places. And therefore, every time I see a blank or a clean slate, no name, I like putting myself in that situation, because it is me that God is talking about. And so here the Bible talks about a man of God who was given a word from God to go and deliver it to a king. And he was given the instructions of how he is to deliver the word. And he went and delivered the word. And the king said, why don't you rest and stop by a little bit? We can have some refreshments. And he said, God spoke to me and said, I should not eat, I should not drink, yada, yada, yada. You can read the rest of the story. And he was able to keep the king off at bay and not give in to the enticing requests by the king. But on his way back, there was a prophet in the area who heard what God had done through this man of God. And he came to him and he said, why don't you come to my house? For God has spoken to me. And then the prophet, called the old prophet, deceived the man of God, and he went with him to his house. Now, this is what the prophet said. God also speaks to me. I am also a prophet. And so the man of God was deceived, because this man came packaged as a prophet. They know the talk, they know the walk, they know the lingua. They will deceive you. And I've asked sometimes, I see things on television and I'm like, oh my goodness, I pray for discernment. Because discernment is not mainly to tell between the false or the blatantly false and the true, but it's to tell between the true and almost true. Let me repeat that. Because if it's black and white, you know what it is. You know what's a blatant lie. You know what is a blatant falsehood. But a counterfeit truth, what the world is calling alternative truth, it's packaged as if it is the truth. And therefore you need God to clearly speak to your heart and say, this is not it. That is the discernment. And so this man of God went in with the prophet after he was lied to that God had spoken to him. And guess what? As they were having dinner against the instructions of the Lord, the word of the Lord came again and said, you have disobeyed me. And he died on his way home. Read the story. A very interesting story. Therefore then, it is important for us to know how to test every spirit. 1 John 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many spirits have gone out. In fact, that verse continues to say, because many false prophets have gone out. People declaring things, pretending to be from God, yet they are not from God. And I came to warn us as a church today, be careful who you listen to. Not everybody carrying a Bible saying I'm a servant of God is a servant of God. Not everybody saying that I have an oracle from God has an oracle from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they are deceiving many. But I will show you in just a short moment how to test if it's actually from God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And I'm not here to do a smear campaign against these wonderful people out there prophesying and all that kind of a thing. I'm here to serve us with a caution. Take your time. Listen to the Holy Spirit. One time, a certain sister wanted to get married so desperately. And she was looking at her biological clock and she was looking at the social clock and everything was ticking. And she used to pray loudly. I like it when we pray loudly. And she used to say, God bless me with a husband. God bless me with a husband. And there was this particular brother in the church who really liked that girl. But, you know, there were no signs that the girl was actually receiving the signals from him. You know, he's trying to do coffee dates. He's trying to do this and that. But the lady is not there. She's just hidden in God. And so the story goes that this guy knew where this woman used to go and pray in the prayer closet. And so it's a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a wonderful story. So apparently the guy rigged the room with some sound, you know, some hidden speakers. And he went into a different place, maybe like that small room where the sound for this room is controlled from, and waited for this girl to come and pray, Lord, I pray for my husband. I pray for a tall, handsome young man and all these kind of things. And then the man went onto the microphone or whatever it was, I say. What shall we call her? Let's call her Lily. Lily, 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 I am the Lord your God, and your husband is going to be Mr. Jones. And then the girl was like, was it you, Lord? I know Brother Jones has been looking at me in a manner likely to suggest that he likes me. Lily, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. Your husband shall be Mr. Jones. And then the guy went off. And of course, that wasn't from God. And Lily ended up marrying Mr. Jones. And it was a marriage from hell. I think I read that story somewhere. But the point is, she was so desperate to hear God that the first voice she heard, naturally, she believed it was God. And she was deceived. Test every spirit. So I'm going to tell you 5 things how to test if it's a voice of the Holy Spirit. Number one, does the voice align with the scripture? I stand here with all confidence to tell you that the Lord or the Holy Spirit will not say anything to you that is contradictory to the Word of God. Right, granted, the Word of God was written and it's finished. We don't add anything to it. And I believe that God still speaks and continues to speak since the canon of the Bible was agreed. But whatever God says and speaks does not contradict the Word of God. I'm saying that because it's important to understand the difference between unbiblical and non-biblical. Non-biblical means that something is not in the Bible. We do not find keyboards in the Bible. We do not find laptops in the Bible. Although I hear that we have tablets in the Bible. Moses was given 2 tablets. Some of you will catch the joke on your way home. So Moses was given two tablets. But what I'm trying to say is there are so many things that are not in the Bible, but they are not unbiblical. Are we together so far? I don't want to lose anybody. What I'm saying by that is, if anything is unbiblical, it means it's against the Bible. So if something is against the Bible, it is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never instruct you to do something that the Bible has instructed you not to do. The Holy Spirit will never instruct you not to do something the Bible has told you to do, because God does not contradict himself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. He does not change. And the Bible says very well in the second book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you go read, that every scripture is breathed of God. It is Holy Ghost inspired. It's Holy Spirit inspired. So if any revelation, if any voice comes to you, and when you check it and you weigh it against the word of God, it's contradictory. I dare say by the authority of God's word, it is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit will always be in harmony with the word of God. Number two, does it bring peace or does it cause angst? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will give you instructions, and even though sometimes they might be a little bit perturbing and disturbing to you, he will give you peace in whatever he says. I will give you a very simple example. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, blessed art thou, you know that in the book of Luke, and he continues to say a few things, and then both Luke and Matthew, and he says, you shall be pregnant with a child, you know, and he continues. I think I'm going to read that. It's not in my text, but I want to read that and show you. If you have your Bible, please turn with me. And I want to show you that the Holy Spirit will not cause angst in your spirit when he speaks. Where is that? Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read it. Luke chapter 2. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, chapter 1 from verse 26. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who is highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And then he continues. Verse number 34. Mary now has received a message from God. But she's like, hang on a minute. I'm not even married yet. How is this going to be? You know, yesterday my son was asking me some difficult questions. He was asking me, how comes people are getting children and they're not married? And I had to get into some social studies mode and try to explain to him how people live in the world. And so Mary is wondering, I'm a virgin, I'm not married, how shall it be? How will this be? And the angel answered, verse number 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he continues, verse number 37 says, for no word from God will ever fail. Guess what happened to Mary? She did not consider anymore that she was a virgin. She did not consider anymore that she was not married. Verse number 38 says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, no matter your situation or your circumstances, he gives you peace and reassurance. I have been in situations where the Holy Spirit has spoken and declared some difficult things are going to come upon people. I've been in a situation where the Holy Spirit has spoken and said, prepare your, put your house in order for you are going home. I've been in a situation where I've seen people being told by the Holy Spirit that your church will be shaken, your body will be shaken, your family will be shaken, but at the end, the glory of God will be revealed. And no matter how hard or disturbing that word is, there is always the grace and the peace of God accompanying it. So the word from the Holy Spirit will always come with peace and will always come with joy. It will come with reassurance. It will not cause angst. Number three, does it lead to righteousness? And I don't need to labor hard on this. Anything that you hear that does not align with the righteousness of God is not of God. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to evil. In fact, we pray that do not lead us into temptations, deliver us from evil. God will not cause you to do something unholy because it is not in line with His word. His honor, His name is to be glorified. Praise the name of Jesus. So if the voice is telling you to do something unrighteous, and I'm saying this carefully because I've been in situations where I've seen prophets, and I put quote unquote prophets telling especially female members of the congregation that they have to sleep with them for them to be blessed. Am I the only one living in this world? I've heard of weird stories. Weird stories. I've heard of people being told they have to buy their miracle. They have to pay an X amount of money for God to bless them. Let me tell you something. If Jesus did not win it for you on the cross, no amount of money will buy it for you. Christ conquered it for you once and for all. You don't have to buy miracles. You don't have to pay money to get a miracle. It is given to you for free by God. It is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Victor, can God not cause me to give? Yeah, God can cause you to give. I've been led to give sacrificially. I've been led to bless people sacrificially, but not as a transaction that quid pro quo. God, I give you, you give me. No. I am in Christ Jesus, and I have the fullness of Him thereof. It will not lead you to unrighteousness. Number four, does it glorify Jesus? If the voice that you hear does not glorify Jesus, I came to tell you today that it is not of God. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, you can read from verse 2 to verse 3, that if the Spirit does not testify unto Jesus being the Son of God, it is not of God. John 16 verse 14, He shall glorify me. So if the prophetic word, if the vision, if the dream, the end thereof gives glory to a man, gives glory to an institution, gives glory to an organization and doesn't give glory to God, it is not of God. I will ask you a question here, and I am careful how I put this question because I know these things are the things you're seeing on YouTube. They're the things that we are seeing on Christian television. What glory does it give God, Brother Lano, for me to tell you the color of your underwear? No, come on, let's talk. I've seen prophets telling people, I can see you. I can see the vest you're wearing. I can see the color of your underwear. I can tell you what you had for dinner last night. I can see you've got three tomatoes arranged on the left corner of your fridge. And the question I always ask myself, hang on a minute. Where is Jesus being glorified here? When all focus is to a man, when all focus is to an institution, and there is no glory to God, it is not of God. It is not the voice of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. And lastly, does it bear good fruit? This for me is an ultimate test. Because many times we hear the voices of men. And I remember standing here that I knew of a child that was just running on dreams and running on vision. Everybody would stand and say, I'm running. I mean, I had this vision. I had this dream. And before they knew it, there was no church left. because of the confusion that came. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. The Holy Spirit is not the author of disorder. He's actually, the Bible says that things should be done in order and decency. So if the voice comes to bring bad fruit, it comes to bring division, it comes to bring disharmony, it comes to bring commotion, it is not the voice of God. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. So what fruit do we see from the voice that proceed? Is it the voice of healing? Is it the voice of affirmation? Is it the voice of, you know, saying that you are forgiven? Because the voice of God, even though it convicts, it does not condemn. It is the voice of the Holy Spirit giving you affirmation. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to wrap this up. So how do we then discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I want to give you four ways we can discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number one, it's through the Word of God. Like I have said, the Holy Spirit will never instruct you deuterocanonically. He will never instruct you outside of the Bible. So when you spend time with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word. The scripture we have there says that the Word of God is breathed of God. The scripture is inspired of God. The Holy Spirit has breathed life into it. So every time I have my Word, I'm reading the Word of God. I'm there and I'm interacting with it. I'm saying, God, speak to me. And the revelation of the Holy Spirit comes out. I could be in a very difficult situation. Recently, I didn't know what to do in a particular situation, and I was in Horsham just praying, and then God gave me a word. And I stood with that word, and I stood with it and confessed it and meditated upon it. And God gave me reassurance that He is going to intervene in my situation. Praise the name of Jesus. So cultivate a habit of studying the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God. The Bible says, upon this word, he meditates day and night, and he shall prosper in all that he does. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through a conviction. Like I've said, the Holy Spirit does not condemn. He convicts. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 8, he will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it continues to say why he does that. He will convict you when you've gone astray through your conscience. The Holy Spirit will convict you. There are some times I have said some things, and immediately the Holy Spirit says that, Victor, Victor, Victor. And I've gone back to God and I've said, Lord, I repent of the words I've said. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he causes grief in our hearts. But this grief is meant to lead us to repentance. When we have walked away from God, when we have turned our faces away from God, the Holy Spirit will convict us. That is a conviction of the Holy Spirit. That discomfort you feel before you enter into that room, that discomfort you feel after you come out of that room, it's the Holy Spirit saying, let's recalibrate and point back to the true north. That conviction you feel when you do not follow your discipleship disciplines. When you know, God, I was just about to step on some people's toes. I haven't been faithful in my giving. Lord, I haven't been faithful in my praying. I haven't been faithful in my fellowshipping. That is the Holy Spirit. And now what happens is, if you don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your conscience, then your conscience becomes hard. And no matter what happens, then you don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it becomes like it's seared. Is it seared or seared with iron? That you cannot hear the Holy Spirit leading you. And sometimes it goes on until it's too late. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So that grief you hear, you feel sometimes, it is the Holy Spirit grieving in you. One time God gave me a word of knowledge. I was preaching in Horsham Church, and God just put it in when I was on the stage, and God said that there is a particular person here, a lady, and you used to be a prophetic worshiper, and something happened in your life, I don't know what, and you moved away from God, from worship, and since then you've never had peace. The Holy Spirit has always been reminding you of that, and you've been grieving in your spirit. And when the service finished, a lady came to me, and I'm not going to mention her name, and she said, "You are the second person who's told me that in a span of 2 weeks." And I said, "Then you better listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman." I can see you nodding your head. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Because if he says it to you, and God does not speak for the sake of speaking, he speaks to be hearkened unto. So if you disobey, God will not instruct you beyond your last act of disobedience. And if he instructs you again, he is going to redirect you back to your disobedience so that you can obey him. I think I'm getting a little bit deeper than I wanted. So he will convict you concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Number three, he will speak to you. The voice of the Holy Spirit will come to you through the inner witness. He will bear witness with your spirit. The Bible says he testifies together with our spirits that we are God's children. Romans 8 and verse 16. So he will give you an affirmation in your heart that this is the way you need to go. This is the job you need to take. This is the person you need to speak to. This is the area you need to avoid. And many times I've been in that situation. I cannot say that God spoke to me in capital letters or I saw a writing on the wall, but there was that conviction in my spirit that this is the time to do it, or this is not the time to do it. I like giving an example how I became a pastor of this congregation. It was all an orchestration of events. Many things happened, including prophetic words. But one thing that I know for sure is that God convinced me in my spirit that this is of God. And I actually made one radical prayer and I said, "God, if it is not of you, you have the power to make me say no. Make me say no." And I said, "I'm leaving myself open to you, God. You have the ability and the strength and the might to make sure I don't say anything to Pastor Clive and I don't set foot in that church." But then there was the inner conviction and inner witness. It was a long, long time. I prayed with people, including Lano. I prayed with him a lot. And I'm saying that because he's here and some other people. And why I'm saying that is because sometimes we think it's our own thoughts, but it's actually God telling you. Sometimes we think it's our own intuition, our own reasoning. But I'm going to ask you a simple question. If you are fully immersed in God, if you are fully hidden in Christ Jesus, and the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, then what kind of thoughts do you have? The thoughts of Christ. Are we still together? Conviction number four, it's through spiritual gifts. And I know somebody will come and deal with this later on in one of the sessions we have. So we have prophecy. The Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit comes through a prophetic word, a prophetic declaration. It can be personal to you. Someone will come to you and say, "I have a word from God for you." But please remember to test the word using the criteria I've given you. Sometimes it will be a prophetic declaration in a congregation like this. Sometimes it will be a prophetic decree during our prayer meetings. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We're going to deal with this when you come to doing an exposition on the revelatory gift of the Holy Spirit. Godly counsel. God speaks through people. Hello. God speaks through spirit-filled godly people. That is why it's important to seek godly counsel. If you know someone who's full of the Spirit of God, you can go to them and they will give you godly counsel, godly advice. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through visions. Are we still together? So that is how God speaks to us. And as I conclude, the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, therefore, in discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit is cultivating a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hearing the voice of the Spirit requires intentionality and consistency. Just as we invest in human relationships, we must invest in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I remember when my daughter was growing up, I used to like it so much. When she was just a few months old and she would start recognizing voices. I remember sometimes she would be at home breastfeeding and my brother would come flying in through the door from school and she would stop everything. And you could tell from her eyes and her reaction that she recognizes the voice of the brother. Because a relationship is being cultivated. And I'm not going to read, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 10, we have a situation whereby the Bible says that Samuel is a minister in the presence of the Lord. But the Bible says he did not yet know the Lord because the word of God had not been revealed to him. And the Bible says that those days the word of God was rare and there were no visions. So when God called him, the Bible says he ran to Eli and said, "You called me." Three times. Eli said, "No. Next time you hear your name being called out, it is the Lord talking to you. Say, here I am, Lord. Master, speak, thy servant is listening." Now, what I take home from that is that sometimes we can be in the busyness of doing things in church. We can be in the busyness of doing things that seem okay in our Christian walk. But until and unless we devote time to be intimate with God, we will still not know his voice. But Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's what the Bible says. For the word of God had not been revealed to him. God reveals to those he trusts. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those that trust him. Cultivate a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then guess what happened after that? The Bible says after he received the word of God, next few verses, there is not a single word that Samuel spoke that ever fell to the ground. God fulfilled each one of them. Discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. So how do we cultivate this? Number one is by prayer and worship. Consistent communication with God. You cannot, I like saying that communication is to any relationship what blood is to the body. If we don't communicate, then the relationship begins to crumble. If you don't maintain a clear communication channel with God, then we end up having issues because you don't hear him. It's not just about me coming to God and bang, 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 these are my prayer requests and then walking away. The Bible says he also speaks to us. So the more we talk to God, the more we recognize his voice. Lana, do you mind just giving me some? Yeah. And so cultivate a culture of prayer and worship, especially praying in the spirit. You are edifying yourself in the spirit. Submitting, number two is submitting to the leading of the spirit. Now, this is important. If you do not yield to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, you will quench his voice. The Bible says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Bible says, my sheep hear me and follow me. So you've got to be willing to hear God and to obey God. When you stop obeying God, then God stops instructing you. And I could have shown you that from the Bible. Anytime you are disobedient to the voice of God, whenever God speaks, he takes you back to start. Obey me in this. Obey me in this. God does not steer or he does not lead a disobedient child. Are we still together? So the voice of God is there to be obeyed. And why am I saying this? Because the next thing that we need to do is to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It might not sound good to you. It might not sound very, very practicable to you. But just leave it to God. If he said it, he's well able to see it through. If he led you to do it, he will carry you through. And I like saying, for whatever God does not deliver you from, he walks through with you. For whatever he does not save you from, he gives you the grace to go through. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Invest your time in submitting to God. Invest your time in reading the word of God. And lastly but not least, it's in personal and corporate fellowship. Whereas personal fellowship with God is important for you to be intimate with him, communal and congregational fellowship is also very important. It is in meetings like these that sometimes the Holy Spirit, not sometimes, that the Holy Spirit speaks. When people meet together for prayer and you get given a prophetic word that moves you to the next dimension, because God has given us a diverse of gifts to profit with all, for us all to benefit for his kingdom. The Bible says it is when the apostles were together praying in a place that the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. It is when you are together, corporate together. And I pray that God will quicken that in our spirit, that we do not neglect the meeting together. And I'm not doing a campaign for prayer meetings, by the way. We don't neglect the meeting together of brethren, whether in prayer meetings, whether it's in your family. Every single day, we have to pray together as a family unit at home, because in that fellowship, God will speak to us. Sometimes, my wife is my witness, Kirk will pray something or Kyla will pray something, and we will hear the voice of God through them praying. Because we are in fellowship. Hallelujah. Are we still here? Because if you hang around fire, you'll also catch fire. There was a guy called Saul. You know about the story of King Saul. And when he was anointed, the Bible says on his way home, he went through a company of prophets. And he also began to prophesy. And people wondered, what's going on here? And they said, has he also become a prophet? And the Bible says, when he came out of the company of the prophets, he stopped prophesying. So there is something that happens when believers meet together. Encounter nights, like you've been told, when we are in together in that encounter meeting, amazing things happen. There is power when two or three gather together. The voice of the Holy Spirit comes forth with clarity. Praise the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to make a commitment to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Maybe the thing that you need to take home today is, Lord, I want to become so intimate with you that I may hear your voice. And not only hear your voice, that I may obey your voice. My question to you is, what has the Lord been speaking to you, and have you been listening? I want to pray. Let us all stand on our feet. Let us all stand on our feet. I want to make a prayer for all of us today, that God will help us to have the clarity of the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you can, please lift up your hands before God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person here today. There are so many voices speaking to us or speaking around us. And today, God, I pray, let there be clarity of the voice of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I pray that, Lord, people will know you intimately, spend time with your word, and get deeper in a personal relationship with you, Jesus. I pray for the inner witness. I pray for the convicting ability of the Spirit. And I pray for the word to come alive in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.